cards flying back and forth here, gifts. I want to welcome you in this morning. We just want to start this morning in a word of prayer for three individuals, three members of our church, three members of our family, Mike Oroshi, Margaret Herman, and John Fordham. And at a time of year when we should all be together and be with our families, it's tough when we have family members that are not able to attend and be with us, that find themselves in the care of others in a hospital or in a rehab facility. And I just want to take this moment with you to bring them before God this morning before we get started. Let's do that together, okay? Our Father, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity to come together once again. Lord, physically come together as a family, but there are some who are a part of this family who are unable to be here today with us, oh God. Lord, we want to remember Mike Hiroshi, oh God, to you. Lord, our brother has suffered two strokes. Lord, he finds himself not in his home, but in a rehabilitation center. Being cared for, being helped. Lord, maybe wondering, maybe even struggling with a little doubt. Lord, wherever he finds himself this morning, we pray, oh God, that even now, right now, oh God, that you would visit him. That, Father, you would encourage his heart. Lord, that you would let him know, oh God, that you are with him and that you care and that your hand is upon him. And Lord, even though our bodies fade and become weak, Lord, you are the God who renews our spirits. You are the one that gives us hope and brings renewed life into us, regardless of what our frames find themselves in. And so this morning, oh God, we pray your hand upon him. For our sister Margaret Herman, oh God, Lord, we pray, oh God, that you would touch her right at this moment. Lord, we know that you care for her and that you love her. Lord, that you have strengthened her and that you have taken her through a great ordeal already. But Lord, as she finds herself recovering now in Winthrop Hospital, Lord God, we ask that you touch her. As tests are being ran, as the solution is being searched for, oh God, as a healing is needed and necessary, oh God, as she's away from her family, Lord, we pray that you would be near to her. That, Lord, there would be no distance between you and her. That she would know that right by her bedside you stand. That you are with her. And that you love her. And Lord, for our brother John Fordham, oh God. Lord, we thank you for our brother. Lord, again, someone that you have taken through a great many trials physically. And Lord, we trust, oh God, that as he goes back to the doctor this week, Lord, that his diabetes, that his blood pressure, that everything that needs to be brought under control, oh God, you would place your hand on. And that you would bring into your care. And that you would give the doctor great wisdom. That you would enable them, whoever helps him, to be wise through your wisdom and through your guidance. Lord, we thank you for our family. We thank you for these three brothers and sisters, oh God. And Lord, we ask, oh Lord, that you would just continue to work in our presence throughout this day now. Lord, we thank you for this time. And we ask all these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Morning.
Morning.
More than 53 years ago, wow, back in 1965, a cartoonist was approached. The guy was immensely popular already. CBS approached him to make a little documentary. The comic strip was called Peanuts. And he insisted that he would include a reading from the book of Luke, and CBS said no. And he said, without that reading, we'll have no production. He stood his ground. They said, okay. Amen. And now, 53 years later, every child who watches that film, amen, gets to know the real meaning of Christmas. Frank, roll that, please.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
God bless you, Janet. Christmas time, a lot going on. You ready? Good, good. We're going to go to the Christmas wreath this morning. Before I do, I just want to convey from both Kathy and myself a deep gratitude and a spirit of thanksgiving. We just want to thank you all for your cards, for your gifts, for your blessings. I think that since we've arrived here, if I can say it this way, it's been kind of a type of Christmas. We've just been so blessed by the outpouring of a provision for us and for care for us, and we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And so, grateful for your cards and everything that you've been conveying to us. With that, this morning we're going to relight the candle of hope. And what a powerful, powerful thing hope is. More than just the power of suggestion, right? It's not a Jedi mind trick. You will be hopeful, you know? It's something that comes in the way of Christ coming to us and abiding with us and in us. It's not just something that can float from us. It's something that we can possess. And we do possess a great hope as we possess Christ in our lives. And then we're going to light the candle of peace. And I don't know about you, but that's a well that I am always grateful that never runs dry. Because there's so much in our world today that tries us and pushes us to the brink and challenges God's peace in our lives. And it's always available. That well is there. It's always filled. It's always available. And we can dip into it and receive the peace. And I thank God for this time of year that reminds us that God has delivered us peace in the form of Christ our Lord. And then we have the candle of joy. God is so good to us. I've thought about this week about some of the hardships that people are enduring at this time of year. Thursday, I went to visit Margaret Herman, and she was fine. She was doing great. What a great spirit. Just had a great conversation with her, prayed with her. Just had a really good sense that whatever was happening, God was in the midst of it. And then a day later, she's back in the hospital. But I want to tell you that God's joy is no less available to us when things get turned upside down on us. And they do. If there's anything that you and I know already, that life isn't always like this. I had an old boss said this to me one time. He says, if life was always this, it would be flatlined. It would not be life, right? Life is the ups and the downs. And God is in the ups and the downs. And even when things don't go smoothly, doesn't mean that we can't experience his joy in it. I want to pray for those who are lacking joy this year. As you and I experience joy within our own situations, be thinking about others. God will bring them to your mind. And you can pray for them in the way of joy. And then today, we're going to light the candle of love. The greatest of these things is love. I think it's safe to say that none of us would be in this place today, in this room, in this sanctuary, if somehow, some way, God didn't break through into our lives and show us that he loves us, shows us that he cares, shows us and tells us that he wants to be near us. His love encapsulates all the things that we could possibly desire and need. Everything comes through his love, and I think that's why it's the greatest of all things, is his love. Before we get into the word today, we're going to watch a little video. Frank, roll it.
Freeze. Good job, everybody. Let's take a few minutes. Good job.
Whew. It is like 1,000 degrees out here. No thanks to global warming.
Again, global warming and hot flashes, two totally different things.
I'm starving. Can we please take a snack break already?
You ate a whole bag of cheese puffs 15 minutes ago, Jim.
And?
Marty, we've been at this day and night for a week. We're exhausted. Besides, it's not really a live nativity. We have stuffed animals.
Look, everyone, we make do with what we've got. This is our last performance of the Nativity, and we have been entrusted with this esteemed honor.
Esteemed honor of carrying out a 103-year-old tradition by the oldest church in Corncatcher County. We got you. Yeah, we got your little pep talk about 10 pep talks ago.
Amen to that. Can anybody even see me back here?
I've got hay fever, Marty. Do you know what irritates hay fever, Marty? Hey.
Sorry about that, Bob. I tried to find hypoallergenic hay, but the men at the feed store just laughed at me.
Why am I in the bag? Did I mention I was a stand-in on an episode of Touched by an Angel?
Highway to Heaven trumps Touched by an Angel every time, sister.
Apparently you've never seen an episode of Charlie's Angels.
It's not the same thing, Bob.
I'm smelling an undertone of a hazelnut. Definitely hazelnut.
I think it's plastic.
Look, Marty, none of us signed up for this.
You signed up for this. Literally, you all signed up for this.
My wife signed me up for this. I'm out.
I signed up to play Mary.
And nobody would believe that.
Whatever happened to making do with what you've got, Marty?
Let's go, guys. These Applebee's coupons don't use themselves. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back.
No.
I want my baby back.
It's not the same restaurant.
I was buy one, get one.
Okay,
you
listen,
are out of line.
No, I was trying to put on a show.
No, don't come in here like that, right? He's got a deal. He had a plan and a move, and you're trying to tell us. You're not in charge of the whole world. That's not the way this works. That's not the truth. And you know it. My friend was just going to try to help us. He's trying to be a good steward and helping us, and you're jumping in on all of this.
Oh, look at you. So tiny and peaceful and perfect. A lot like baby Jesus. He deserved so much more. But this was God's plan. God gave him a mommy to take care of him. He chose shepherds to tell everyone. Wise men came and visited him. God even gave him an earthly daddy. A lot of imperfect people. But God always makes do with what he's got. And that perfect little baby grew up and saved us all. He showed us what real love looks like. A love that cost him everything. I just adore him.
Isn't that much like Christmas? We time when we want to experience God's presence, but it can get pretty messy. But we go forward. And today I want to go forward with you, and I want to talk to you about his love. Oh, what a love. And today I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with you. So as it comes up on the screen or as you turn to it. Now I know 1 Corinthians 13 is very well known for being used at weddings. I've even had some people say, you know, why is this used at weddings? Well, I think Paul's challenge is a good focus for anyone starting out on the road of a relationship, especially marriage. And it takes some doing to be able to go and love and to be involved with others in a way that, makes all the difference in the world. But today I want to take the scripture with you, and I want to kind of take it and turn it upside down and shake it out. And so follow me, if you will. And after we do that, after we read, I'm going to ask some questions. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body. I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And then going down to verse 13, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I want to ask you a question, and you think about it. I've come to, at this time of year, some realizations, some revelations of self, of myself. And maybe some of you can relate to it, and maybe you can't, but hear me out. Before I ever received any language of angels, that is, before God ever changed the way I spoke as a man. And even now, in the things I say, if I could even sound like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, because my words don't match up with my living, before all these changes could ever take place, God loved me. Before I ever understood any of God's secret plans, before I possessed any knowledge from him, had any faith to move an anthill, never mind a mountain, God loved me. Before I ever thought of ever sharing anything, never mind everything, with the poor, before I was challenged to sacrifice my body, that is, my time, for others, God loved me. When I boast, when I seek to be recognized, when I'm impatient and unkind and unloving and jealous and boastful and proud or rude, when my love is as thin as a cheap veneer over a hard oak surface, when my love is more about me than loving some others, when it's idolatrous, when it's all about me, God loves me. When I'm demanding, when I'm irritable, and if you haven't seen that side of me, at some point, if we stay together long enough, you will. But when I'm demanding and irritable, or when I have logged offenses of others, kept a record of some sort of sins or wrongs, still, God loves me. If I should ignore truth, or if I even give up on loving some others because they just rub me the wrong way, he loves me. And if I should lose faith or become despondent because of my circumstances in life and let go of hope, he is there to love me. Because you see, the greatest of these gifts is love. And that love has come to me and it comes to you in the way of Emmanuel, God with us. Can you relate to anything I've said? It may not hit you now. Maybe the shoe doesn't fit you at all. But maybe on the way home you might think, I could relate to that. This week, I began to wonder, and I had to wonder also if you were wondering like I was wondering. Seems like Pastor Vin has kind of taken the dark side of Christmas. He's talked about troubles and hardship, and now he's talking about this lack of love. And I began to wonder, you see, because sometimes I have this out-of-body experience. I feel God is directing me in a certain way, and I kind of go along with it. But sometimes I have to stop and kind of climb out of that vehicle and go, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And this is what God kind of shared with me this week. You see, without a need or a desperation, there is no necessity for hope. If everything was going smoothly, Why would any of us need any hope? If not for loss and torment, chaos and confusion, would any of us hunger for peace? If not for crushing disappointment and shattered dreams, would there be any crying and longing for joy in our lives? Because we just didn't have it. And without realizing the brokenness in our world and in our own lives at times, and experiencing the rejection of a very unconditional environment, because if we look all around us, there's a lot of conditions on why people love one another. What's in it for them? Or, you know, it's just not done a certain way, and I would like this to be done. And then I'll find you acceptable, and I can be able to love you. And so there is a great need for these things, for all the things that we spoke about. If that great need didn't smash up against our lives and kind of take us by the throat sometimes, would we even realize that we have great need for all these things, and especially love. And this is a time of year in Advent when Christ comes to us. We remember that Christ comes to us with an unconditional love, knowing full well what a mess we are at times, like we saw today in the play, right? Grumbling, complaining, I'm fit for a better role, and, you know, this is just not going the way I want it to go, and it's a little too hot, or I'm just not comfortable in my own skin. And God says, I get it, and that's why I'm coming to you. That's why I'm coming to you. That's why I'm loving you. God wants to be near us. Even when we don't even want to be around ourselves. Have you ever been there? I woke up this week and I said, I just walked downstairs and I went like, God, couldn't you have picked someone else? Don't you think you would have been better if you picked somebody else? And as I spent time with God, this is what he said to me. I just want to be near you. I just want to be near you. How often we feel like we're not suited for this life and what's going on, and we could be doing a better job, or at least somebody else could be doing it better than me. And God is saying to us, I just want to be near you. That's why I picked you. I want to be near you. And Christ coming to us is proof of what I'm saying to you, is proof of his love, his unconditional love. Him coming to us says, I want to be near you. I love you. That's why I'm making this trip. That's why I've made this journey, because I love you and I want to be near you. And we find these proofs in the Christmas story, but we find these proofs, of course, in the scriptures. And I want to look at Isaiah 7:14 with you this morning. Isaiah 7:14. All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How much more proof do we need of God's love? He sent a sign. He sent a child. He sent his son. And we're told his name is God with you. God with us. What don't we get? That God would want to be near us. That he would make the journey. That he would put on these same garments that you and I wore day in and day out. And I'm not talking about if you're wearing a Timberland shirt like myself. I'm talking about your flesh, right? He came and he clothed himself in the same material that you and I have been clothed in. Why? So that he can be near us. So that he could express his love to us. Because he knows full well that this world doesn't possess that kind of love. That all around us are conditions. And if we can meet those conditions, then we can be loved. Then we might feel cherished. We may feel valuable because we've done this or that. And God is saying, I just want to be near you. Honestly, I don't care what you've done or you're not doing or what you're doing. I've come to be near you. And then we look at Isaiah 9. And I'm going to look at verse 6 with you. I'm going to take the beginning of the verse and the end of the verse with you. And the beginning of the verse says, for a child is born to us, all of us. A son is given to us, all of us. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There are the answers that we need. That he would come to counsel us, to guide us, to love us. That he, the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, would bring himself down here to spend time with us. This is more than just church lingo, you know, and it can become that. We can say it so many times that it kind of loses its essence. But the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, has come and he decided to show up in our lives. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes. God listens in, he watched, and he knew full well that if he came down to earth in some way, like the baby in the video, we too would make him cry. But that didn't stop him, because his love is unconditional. Because that's what he is all about. That's his character. That's what makes God, God. The unconditional lover of our souls. So regardless of what you have done or may have done or haven't done or what you've finished or haven't finished, whatever your holiday is shaping up to be, God is with you. God loves you. And even if you don't get it right, and even when we get it all wrong, God's there and he loves us. He declares his love to us in Christ. And he says, I want to be near you. He wants to be physically engaged with you and I, which makes him completely accessible. Have you ever sought someone and couldn't get to that person, whether it was a doctor or a lawyer or a family member? You desired access. You wanted to get into to be with that person. You wanted to be around that person. God is fully available, fully accessible, and he's here for us. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. God doesn't want something from us. He simply wants us. Isn't that nice to know? In a world where everybody wants something, and I don't know about you, but I make a confession, I want something. You know? Aren't we always wanting something? In a world where every one of us wants something and always are looking for something, God is saying, I'm just looking for you. Not what you can do. Not if you can play an instrument or sing. I'm just looking for you. I just want to be with you. And you are what matters. Not what you do, but you. Just you alone. And isn't that comforting? When we live in such a world that has every stipulation in the book for us to have to meet up to in order to be loved. And God is saying, I just love you the way you are. And that sometimes can be tough to swallow. I know it is for me. Sometimes I get up in the mirror and I look and I go, really? You really love me? And I think that's what I was saying this past week. You really love me? And again, all God was saying was, yeah, I want to be near you. Just want to be near you. You see, we live in a world where people carry grudges. They keep lists. And sometimes we get pulled into that as well. We keep a manifest, you know, a scroll, roll it out. And we look it up and down. We remember things that we should have been long forgiven and long forgotten. And so it's hard for us to take hold, because quite often you and I as people, sometimes we form, you know, the Bible tells us God formed us in his image. Sometimes we form God in our image. So it's very hard for us to take in that God doesn't nurse a grudge. He doesn't keep record of wrongs. Everything that you and I could possibly do can be forgiven. He forgets it. The Bible tells us it's as far from the east as from the west. And so it takes some doing to get that, because we have been so groomed and machined to live and believe something other than that. And you and I today need to take that in. And as we go into this next year, because it's right around the corner, can we take that and put it out there? Can we take it and live it out there? To show a love that is far exceeds anyone's expectations. I believe we can. I believe that's what God has called us to do in this next year. Is to show and to live out his unconditional love. To be a people who display the living God in these vessels. Yeah. Because he loves us. And he wants to be so near us that he said, I will be with you and I will be in you. And you will be my children. And I will be your father. I will be your God. You and I have a precious gift. We have been given the unconditional love of God. And I don't know about you, and I'll say this before we go today. I don't have to travel very far to realize that. Because there isn't a day that goes by when I realize I need to be forgiven. I need his love in my life. Every day. And his love is there. It's available. And it's present for me. And it's present for you. And we are a people that have that and possess it. We need to make it available for others. Christ came to us. Now he sends us. In a very strong way, you and I are types of Christmas gifts to our culture, to our world, to our neighbors, to our neighborhoods, to our places of business, to where we work, to where we spend our time, wherever we spend it. We are God's gift. As he is to us, we are to others. Live it out. Live that unconditional love. And I'm telling you, take it in and give it out. Let's pray. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that. They don't recognize we are God's children because they don't know him. Oh, Father, Lord, may we recall a time when we too didn't recognize your love, didn't recognize it in others, that had no possession of it, and yet you loved us, and you made a way to get that message through to us so that we might possess your love. Father, I pray as we go today, fill us with your presence. As we go downstairs today and we rejoice and we share food and conversation, Lord, I pray that this place would continually be filled with your love, that we might live it. And as we go into this next year, that we might live it. Lord, continually fill our hearts, not just at this time of year, but every day, with the spirit of your Son's coming, with the spirit of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And thank you for listening.
Would you stand with me one more time? We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring, as gladly we sing. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Greet each other. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. Merry Christmas to all of you, and God bless.